The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. The word of God is alive and powerful and sharper than any double-edged sword, dividing asunder the soul and spirit of both joints and marrow, and is a critic of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. In preparation for today's study of God's word, we must do a few moments of silent prayer. However, if you're here and you're not a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, the issue for you is not 1 John 1:9, but rather John 3:36. He who believes in the Son has everlasting life, but he who does not believe, the wrath of God abides on him. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we're just so thankful you have not left us in darkness, but rather you have brought us into your kingdom of light. You've manifested your Son to us in these last days and taught us so many things through him. We pray now that you will illumine more of these scriptures to our minds, make them clear to our souls, so that we will not be casualties of warfare in this angelic conflict. So help us to pay attention today, for we pray it in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, I'll get updates out of the way first. This Tuesday we will have Bible class, and Thursday we will have Bible class. Whether or not Mike is back or not, I'll teach if he's not here. If not, I'm sure he'll teach if he's back. But Tuesday we definitely will have class. There will be no play practice today afterwards, because you'll notice some empty chairs today. Mike and Bonnie are over at Baraka Church in Houston, over at the Colonel's Memorial Service, as well as a bunch of other people, obviously, because the Colonel R.B. theme, if anybody doesn't know, passed away last Sunday at 8:45 p.m. And so they're having a memorial service right now at 10 a.m. as we speak over there at Baraka, which I'm sure is absolutely magnificent. And if I wasn't here right now teaching, I would much like to be there and see what's going on with the Colonel's son and what he's saying right now. September 6th will be communion, Mary told me, 2 weeks from today. So make sure that Tuesday before you get your money to her. If you're going to be here, $6 individually or $18 for a family. And also Friday at the movies, this Friday, we'll go on. And like Mike said to Mary, she asked if he's going to be back or not, and he said the show must go on. So Friday will be movies, and we'll do it here at Country Bible Church. It would be unfair of me if I did not talk about the Colonel R.B. theme in opening. Colonel R.B. theme ordained Pastor Mike Smith here. And I know Mike went there to prove him wrong many years back. And then, of course, when he got to the Great White Throne in Revelation 20, what happened? You're judged according to your works. And that really threw a loop in Mike's theology. And from that point on, the state of humility kicked in. And he learned a lot and then was eventually ordained by the Colonel so he can teach all of us these amazing doctrines. So he did a lot for Mike and for this church, the Colonel it is. 2 Corinthians 5:8b is where it talks about going home to be with the Lord. And there is a hard drive that I got given to me by Pastor Mike that has all of these old theologians on it. And on like Ironside and Pentecost and some of these other guys, next to their name it says 2 Corinthians 5.8. And so I was wondering, which one is that? Because I didn't know it, I didn't memorize. So I hovered my cursor over it, and of course, that's where they go home to be with the Lord. Well, the Colonels didn't have that next to it when I got that hard drive, but it's next to it now. And the Colonel is up there with Jesus Christ, and I can only have imagined the meeting between those two gentlemen. And Jesus Christ looking at the Colonel and putting his hand on his shoulder, well done, good and faithful servant. The Colonel was a bare-knuckle Bible teacher. He said this one time, most translators of the Bible are well known for being chicken. Come hell or high water, I'm going to teach the word. And he did. For at least 5 nights a week for 50 years at Baraka. So if anybody was an ambassador for Jesus Christ, it was Colonel R.B. Thiem. I like to tell Michelle, and I think in my mind, that gentleman would have taught until hell froze over, and then he'll teach on ice. Of course, we know our Bibles because of the Colonel and Mike and other gentlemen. Hell's not going to freeze over, and it's going to be very hot for those who have in John 3:36 put their faith in Jesus Christ. I'm going to read this real quick. This was posted on rbtheme.org. I read it Tuesday night for those of you who are here, but I'm going to read it again. So still, we got a keep our minds focused, because this gentleman poured 50 years of ministry. So let's pay attention and see what he did here. Robert B. Thiem Jr., pastor of Baraka Church from 1950 to 2003, and president of R.B. Thiem Jr. Bible Ministries, passed through death into eternity Sunday, the 16th of August, 2009, at 8:45 p.m., and is now absent from the body and face-to-face with the Lord, 2 Corinthians 5:8b. He was the beloved husband of Betty Beale Thiem and devoted father of Robert B. Thiem III. He is also survived by his sister, Ann T. Wallace, and his cousins, Frederica Botts and Nancy N. Harder. Bob was born on the 1st of April, 1918. His father, Robert B. Thiem, and mother, Anna Coakley Thiem, of Fort Wayne, Indiana, moved to Beverly Hills, California in the year of 1926. Bob graduated from Beverly Hills High School in the summer of 1936, having lettered in football, track, gymnastics. He was a member of the Beverly High Alumni Association. Bob enrolled at the University of Arizona in Tucson in the fall of 1936, where he majored in classical Greek and joined the Reserve Officers Training Corps. After a distinguished college career, he graduated on the 29th of May, 1940, magna cum laude and Phi Beta Kappa. He was also commissioned as a second lieutenant in the United States Army Reserve. With the goal of becoming a pastor, Bob was licensed to preach by the First Baptist Church of Tucson, Arizona, on the 5th of June, 1940. To further his ministerial preparation, he enrolled in Dallas Theological Seminary, DTS, in 1940. After one semester, his seminary studies were interrupted by the impending entry of the United States into World War II. On the 3rd of April, 1941, Lieutenant Thiem began active duty service in the Army Air Corps. Because of the nature of his assigned duties, he received rapid promotion, and by the end of war, had attained the rank of Lieutenant Colonel. Lieutenant Colonel Thiem was the Director of Military Training for Flying Training Command. In this position, he was charged with initiating, prescribing, and standardizing military training for all categories of personnel in the aviation cadet programs. His duties included coordinating training at 120 Army Air Corps installations throughout the United States and authoring publications that standardized that training. By 1943, he had written The Military Triad, Strategy for Tactics for the Aviation Cadet, and Get Smart, Mister. His final assignment was to supervise and direct the gunnery training at Harlingen Field, Texas. Bob returned to Dallas Seminary in 1946 to resume preparation for the ministry. The academic training he received in Greek, Hebrew, theology, history, and textual criticism became the foundation for a rigorous professional life of studying and teaching the Word of God. And was it ever rigorous? As a student, he became the interim pastor of Reinhardt Bible Church in Dallas, Texas. Upon graduating summa cum laude with a Master of Theology in 1949, he continued to pastor at Reinhardt until the April of 1950. For 53 years, Robert B. Thiem Jr. was the pastor of Baraka Church in Houston, Texas. As pastor, he developed an innovative system of vocabulary, illustrations, and biblical categories designed to communicate the truth of God's Word. His scholarly, expository approach to teaching the Word of God and the worldwide distribution of his publications and biblical teachings without charge or obligation have made Pastor Robert B. Thiem Jr. a major voice in Christianity today. Love that guy, and I know a lot of you do too. So keep the family in your prayers. The fact is that we are in war, like the Colonel thought. It's so good listening to the Colonel, because he didn't shoot around the bush. He let you know that we are in war. So sharpen your minds for the study of God's Word today. I'm going to teach you first something I found interesting to help you in your own personal Bible study. The Bible uses figures of speech, and it's a science that has been lost in studying the Word of God. Some of you may have heard this before, but the word is called an ellipsis. An ellipsis. The laws of geometry, I'm mentioning math, yes, and so did the Colonel with all of his mathematics, right? Because that's God created math. The law of geometry says that you must have three enclosed lines in order to have a space. You got two, it's not going to work. So therefore, you have space. Okay? So the laws also declare of syntax, okay, the study of the sentence, that there must be at least three words to make a complete sentence majority of the time, okay? Or the simplest complete sentence, three words. These three words are variously named by grammarians. In the sentence, thy word is truth, thy word is the subject. It's the subject. Truth would be your predicate. I know this is going back to English class. I taught English last year at Bastrop High School, and I loved it because I got to throw in the Bible with it at the public school system. I almost got in trouble for it, but I didn't care. Okay, because we're in a war. Okay, we need a third line. Is connects it. Thy word is truth. This is called the copulate. Y'all can see all that? Okay. By any of these three may be dispensed. One of these may be dispensed. And this law of syntax may be legitimately broken by what is called an ellipsis. It's a figure of speech. So if you were to take something out and you only have two, then you've got what's called, and I'll spell it for you. This is a tough one, man. I was typing it in the dictionary trying to figure it out. Ellipsis. Okay? Figure of speech where you cut one of them out. Turn in your Bibles, please, to Matthew chapter 14. I'm not going to tell you the verse yet because I've got to tell you something else before we get there. The omission of one of those words arises not from one of thought or lack of care or by an accident. Okay? It's by design, by the Holy Spirit. In order that we may not stop to think of or lay stress on the word omitted, we need to think whenever that's there. But we may dwell on the other two words which were left. Okay? Look at Matthew 14, verse 19, and I'm going to read it with you. I'm reading the New American Standard. Ordering the people to sit down on the grass, he took the five loaves and the two fish, and looking up toward the heaven, he blessed the food, and breaking the loaves, he gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the crowds. Anybody see some italics in that? What does that mean? It's not in the Greek, right? Okay. Sometimes our English translators, let me go there real quick, will put those words in there so we can look at it. So it says, and the disciples gave them to the crowds. That gave them was not in the Greek. Okay, that was an ellipsis that the Holy Spirit intentionally put in that Matthew 14, 19. And why do you do it is the question that you need to think about. Okay, figures of speech were used by the Holy Spirit so you to think about it. The fact is this. Jesus Christ gave the bread. That verb was there. But the verb for the disciples giving it was not there. Because us humans would think that we're the ones giving bread. They were the instruments giving the bread, right? But who's the one who really gave the bread? You revert back to the other verb. Jesus Christ gave the bread. Now, if that ellipsis doesn't enlighten your mind to where you see that, to where we understand that, you know what, it's not about us. It's about Jesus Christ. Okay, so there's a lot of ellipses that you need to pay attention to when you see those italics. And really think about it. You don't have to be a scholar to look at that. That was an easy one, right? But we're just the instruments that are used by Jesus Christ in this warfare. And this is leading in to where I'm going today. Turn to Ephesians chapter 6, please. Ephesians chapter 6. We know this is definitely a warfare chapter. Speaking of this angelic conflict, starting in verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. Put on the full armor of God so that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the full armor of God, so that you will be able to resist in the evil day, and having done everything, to stand firm. Stand firm, therefore, having girded your loins with truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. In addition to all, taking up the shield of faith, with which you will be able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. With all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit. And with this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance, and petition for all the saints, and pray on my behalf, that utterance may be given to me in the opening of my mouth, to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in proclaiming it, I may speak boldly, as I ought to speak. The subject we're talking about today is ambassadors. The Colonel R.B. Thieme was one of the best ambassadors I've ever seen on planet Earth. I think everybody can nod your head to that one, right? Or even saying amen, that's okay. He is an ambassador. But that's something that is an interesting study I don't think a lot of people really focus on, is what does it mean to be an ambassador? A lot of people here might may have taught it. I don't know if I've heard it since I've been here for 2 years, but I know a lot of y'all been here for 10 years, and you probably have heard the subject of ambassador. We're going to go through it so we can kind of understand exactly what does it mean when Paul said, I am an ambassador in chains. This is one of the prison epistles. In chains, right? Okay. Definition of ambassador, a la Colonel Thieme. An ambassador is a high-ranking minister of state or of royalty sent to another state to represent his sovereign or country. By analogy, we are spiritual aristocracy as members of the royal family of God. And Christ is the King who has sent us into a foreign country, the cosmic world. Isn't that a great definition? Man, he wrote that perfect. I was looking at the different dictionaries and stuff, and then I looked at the Carl's definition. Way better. Yeah, it was just good. So, we're here on Earth. I got a question for you. How far would you go? Just think about it. How far would you go as an ambassador? Go ahead and turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Michelle and I have a young couple that are friends of ours that are currently in the United Arab Emirates serving on a mission trip. You're not allowed to talk about the gospel there. They've got a young daughter about the age of Adeline too. And they're over there, because the Lord put it upon his heart to be an ambassador over there. In a different country, we're not even allowed to teach the gospel. But they're doing it. Okay? 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23. Follow along, please. Paul is speaking. Now, here's some pages, so I'll wait a second. Chapter 11, verse 23. Are they servants of Christ? I speak as if insane. I more so, in far more labors, in far more imprisonments, beaten times without number, often in danger of death. 5 times I received from the Jews 39 lashes. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I have spent in the deep. I have been on frequent journeys, in dangers from rivers, dangers from robbers, dangers from my countrymen, dangers from the Gentiles, dangers in the city, dangers in the wilderness, dangers on the sea, dangers among false brethren. I have been in labor and hardship, through many sleepless nights, in hunger and thirst, often without food, in cold and exposure. Apart from such external things, there is the daily pressure of me of concern for all the churches. Wow. Anybody not read that one before? That's like, whoa. When I first read that one, I called my twin brother on the phone and was like, turn your Bible to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. And he opened it up and we read through it together. And I said, and I complain? Me? This is what Paul just said there. I never hunger. I have food all the time. On the way here this morning, we stopped and had a nice sausage and a little pig in a blanket thing and coffee. You know? We get a little whiny. So question, how far would you go? Do you have concerns for other humans? Like Paul said there, he mentioned a lot of external things, and then he talked about the daily pressure of his concern for other churches. So do you really have concern for other humans? Genuinely? The saved and unsaved? You care about people in this church? Or the unsaved? Think of Jesus Christ. We just read about Paul and what he went through. But think about Jesus Christ, the Lord of the entire universe, who came here and got spit in his face. Man, I've never been spit in my face, but if that happened to you, could you imagine? And to not have a mental attitude sin? Amazing. We're going to go over six key points on ambassadorship if you're taking notes. Point number one, your appointment as an ambassador. So we're going to talk about your actual appointment of being an ambassador. If you'll turn to 2 Corinthians, you're already there. Flip back to chapter 5. Point number one, your appointment as an ambassador. Verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come. Now all these things are from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Namely, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them. And he has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were making an appeal through us. We beg you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. He made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Talking about our appointment. We represent the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You know, Mike always says that at the end of his opening offering. It's so hard for me not to say the exact same thing, by the way, if any of you are wondering. And I told Michelle I'm going to try to change it up maybe, but I can't. You know, it would mess me up. But we represent the King of Kings and Lord of Lords here on earth. I think sometimes we don't think about it. You didn't appoint yourself, by the way. Okay? Yes, you had faith in Jesus Christ if you're saved, but that doesn't mean you appointed yourself. The Lord is the one who appointed your ambassadorship, just like he's the one who gave the bread. Question. Think it in your mind. Which person of the Trinity was the one that appointed you? Not an easy question. I read two different guys. One said Jesus Christ and the other said the Father was the one that appointed us. When I look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5, it says there, he was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. I see it as the Father appointed it. That's the way the colonel also looked at it. I know another guy said Jesus Christ. So I'm going to go look a little further. I'm not dogmatic on it, but it's an interesting thing. Okay, I think the Father is left out a lot of times. And we focus a lot on other things, which is good to focus on Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. We're going to focus on all three. So Jesus Christ right now is at the right hand of the Father, right? At the ascension, he went up. But we're here. And Philippians 3 verse 20 tells us that our citizenship is where? In heaven. Okay, we're still citizens of the United States of America. If you were here on Tuesday, I went into that dual citizenship we believers have. Here in the United States, Romans chapter 13, we're in subjection to our government. But also your citizenship is in heaven. The important one. The one. Okay, it's not important. It is important to follow your laws of your country. We're told to. But still, you got to look at the divine laws as ambassadors. This was a grace appointment. As we shall see in point number two, there's three prerequisites. It's a tough word. So point number two, we're moving on. Three prerequisites as far as being an ambassador. That's a tongue twister, isn't it? Number one, you must be saved to be an ambassador. Number two, you've got to have the filling of the Holy Spirit. I'm not going to give you number three yet. Salvation. At salvation, we here at Country Bible Church understand that 1 Corinthians 12:13 tells us we have the baptism of the Holy Spirit, identifying us with Jesus Christ, right? Positionally in Christ, the baptism of the Spirit. That's when we become a representative of Jesus Christ. At that moment of the Spirit baptism, we're an ambassador. Now, are you going to have a mental attitude sin real quick? Somebody spits in your face or says something wrong? If you do, we got 1 John 1:9, and we can be filled. But don't try to go out as an ambassador not being filled, or you're going to get in trouble. Okay? Big time. So one was you must be saved. Two was filling of the Spirit. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and we were all made to drink of one Spirit. when it says that we were baptized in 1 Corinthians 12:13, that is the aorist passive indicative. Okay, I know a lot of times our mind wants to wander when that happens. Aorist, snapshot, took a picture, it happened. We were baptized, positionally in Christ, aorist. Okay, passive, we received it. So we were appointed. We didn't appoint ourselves. Okay, aorist, passive, and the grace part, it was a grace appointment. It's in the indicative mood. That relates it to reality, which means this is certain, exclamation point, that it happened. Okay, so aorist, passive, indicative in that 1 Corinthians 12:13. I know Mike mentioned that those Greek... Okay, they're right back there. I just grabbed it to see if they were there, so get them. Okay, they're right back there, and it'll really help. Okay, so now you're a royal family member of God. Two things occur when you become a royal family member. Your royal priesthood, and then your royal ambassadorship. Now, these are not the same. We're not going to go into royal priesthood unless you come here Tuesday night. That's what I'm going to do on Tuesday. We're going to continue on. But we're going to stick on ambassadorship today. The things in the priestly aspect, though, greatly affect the ambassadorship. Okay, we're going to have to understand that. And if you understand these two, how the priesthood and the ambassadorship work together, you're going to be very good in this warfare. Okay? The filling of the Holy Spirit through rebound, 1 John 1:9, that's a part of your priesthood that affects your ambassadorship. Okay? So the filling of the Spirit and asking Him and confessing your sins and getting to a state of humility, it's part of your priesthood that affects your ambassadorship. Other things that are part of your priesthood, Operation Z, the Colonel so beautifully had, you know, being taught through the grace apparatus of perception, the gap. Okay, those are priesthood functions that are affecting your ambassadorship. So we'll try to understand that. Et cetera, et cetera. There's a lot more. We'll see on Tuesday. Anything done outside of the filling of the Holy Spirit is human good. I know a lot of good people who are very nice. I know a lot of Christians who are very nice. But if you're not filled with the Spirit, they look exactly the same. Okay? So anything outside of the filling, even us doctrinal people in Country Bible Church, if we're not filled and are trying to do something as an ambassador, it's still just human good. And we know what happens to that at the judgment seat. God is Spirit, and those who worship Him must worship in spirit and in truth. So the first one, you have to be saved. Because you've got to have a spirit, like Chuck, Mike's father. Remember, he had a spirit, so now he's with the colonel up there. Can you wait to get there? This cosmos is insane, isn't it? It really is. Not for us, though. Because we get to use our ambassadorship and have peace. It's so... Man, I didn't have any peace before I was a Christian. I was an angry person. I suffered through anger. Somebody would do something. If they spit in my face, I was going to punch them fast. Okay, it got me in a lot of trouble. But then you realize that we don't have to do the fighting. Jesus Christ does it. Okay? It's already won. Doctrine resident in your soul is what will give you the peace and confidence in this cosmos. So you fill up yourself through the priesthood aspect of the Operation Z, opening your Bible every day in 1 John 1:9 and get that doctrine in your soul. That's going to give you the confidence in this cosmos when you're out talking to people as an ambassador. Okay? Be filled with the Spirit, Ephesians 5:18. It's imperative. Okay, so the first prerequisite was saved, the second was the filling, and the third we're going to save for later. Point number three, you're not alone on this journey. We got each other, right? We have not forsaken our own assembling together as is the habit of some. I bet a lot of people are over there right now and haven't done the same thing over at the Colonel. Man, I hope they videotaped that. So as far as we're not alone, we're appointed and commissioned for this duty of war at the moment of our faith in Jesus Christ. And we are given the power and ability to handle the job. So we've been put in warfare. It's kind of, you know, people become a Christian and you say, okay, now you're in war. What? That's not very fun. Yeah, it is, because we already won. Now you're going to just partake in fighting hard. So how has He given us the ability to handle the job? On point number three, you're not alone in this journey. As a church age ambassador, you are given logistical grace. Food, water, shelter. Coffee was good this morning. Adeline's got shelter over her head. The Lord provides all that stuff, just like the bread. As long as He sees fit for you to stay in the ministry here on earth. He's the one who appoints life and death, so He can, I don't need you anymore here. right? Turn to Matthew chapter 6, please. This is a great logistical grace chapter. We'll start in verse 25 and we'll read together. We'll just follow along. For this reason I say to you, do not be worried about your life, as to what you will eat or what you will drink, nor for your body, as to what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, that they do not sow, nor reap, nor gather into barns. And yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worth much more than they? And who of you, by being worried, can add a single hour to his life? And why are you worried about clothing? Observe how the lilies of the field grow. They do not toil, nor do they spin. Yet I say to you that not even Solomon, in all his glory, clothed himself like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? Do not worry then, saying, what will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear for clothing? For the Gentiles eagerly seek all these things, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Logistical grace. Great logistical grace passage. Okay, we're not alone. We have written instructions. Every ambassador, I don't care if it's secular or spiritual as far as we're concerned, is given written instructions. If somebody from the United States is an ambassador or sent to France, you think that we just say, hey, go to France and talk to that leader and tell him this, 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 and this. You better remember him. No, it's written down. He's given written instructions so he doesn't forget them, right? We have the Bible written down as instructions for us. And you know, we don't think about that, so we're not alone here. We've got instructions on this warfare, which teaches us problem-solving devices. The Colonel, you know, in that thing I read, it talked about all these illustrations and these vocabulary things he came up with. He talked about a lot of these problem-solving devices that we have available. The faith rest, rebound, spiritual self-esteem, which is major in the ambassadorship, being confident, good self-esteem, which results in an RMA. I know a lot of these things totally click with you. So we have fantastic doctrines that we can be confident with when we're representing this word to these people in the darkness. Spiritual gifts, we're not alone. We each were given a spiritual gift, right? I've never done an extensive study on spiritual gifts. I'm not going to sit here and try to act like I have, because I haven't. Okay, there's some obvious ones. Pastor, teacher, evangelism, you know, those are obvious. But we've been given spiritual gifts so that we can use them in this warfare. We're not alone, Holy Spirit. Prayer. Angels are sent to minister for us. Guardian angels. We can pray. When Jesus Christ, I remember when he always said, don't you know that I could have the legions of angels right now at my side if I wanted it? This must be done. He could have easily. Just like that. So I know each night before me and Michelle go to bed, I really don't want her. I can't act like I can protect these girls. I'm 136 pounds. You know what I mean? Each night, before we go to bed, we pray for angels to protect us. And I guarantee you they will. The Lord listens if it's in his will. If he wanted somebody to intrude, then by God they will, and that's part of his plan. Okay. And the Holy Spirit, John 16:7, but I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And he, when he comes, will convict the world concerning sin, and righteousness and judgment concerning sin, because they do not believe in me. Who's the one doing the convicting there? The Holy Spirit, not you. Point four, you must witness. Okay, point number four, you must witness. We started off in that 2 Corinthians 5 with I was thinking about the colonel in verse 8, going home to be with the Lord. And it was interesting that in that same chapter, it's reconciliation and ambassadorship. We have the word of reconciliation, the good news. And not everybody has that, and they're going to go to hell forever if you don't tell them about it. That doesn't motivate you to want to tell them. I don't know what does. I know each one of us probably has family members. You know? And sometimes we'll say, oh, they're the hard type that doesn't want to listen. Me too. I'm not, you know, I know that I'm being convicted right now saying this. But there's family members that we have that we can just go and call them and talk to them and say, hey, you know what, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, because if you don't, Jesus is coming back, you're going to go to a literal lake of fire. Well, actually, we've got the tribulation, but you know what I mean. So, don't be scared. Don't just, the colonel wrote this, so if it rubs you the wrong way, good. It says, don't just witness with your lifestyle. That's cowardice. When I read that, I was like, ooh. I'll say it again. Don't just witness with your lifestyle. That's being a coward. Of course, the colonel would say something like that, right? Because we need to hear it. We're in warfare. It doesn't mean you're not supposed to have good works, though, and live a good life. James chapter 2 says that we're justified before men by what? Works. So you've got to combine them. Don't just think, you know what, I've got my doctrine, I wrote my notes down today at Country Bible Church, I'm going to go home and be in my own little cocoon, my spiritual cocoon. You still have to, they need to hear the Word of God and say it to them. Because that's what's alive and powerful. Not just you acting all nice. I know very good people who are not believers that act wonderful. Right? They need to hear the Word of God. So, let's work on that. Me included. Got to. They're not rejecting you. They're rejecting Jesus Christ. Remember that. I know you've heard it before, but you remember the bread? You know, Jesus Christ gave the bread. The Holy Spirit's convicting. And that has to do with the Lord. You're just an instrument being used. So let yourself be an instrument to be used, and if they reject you, so be it. We're going to be together in heaven anyways. You know what I mean? I doubt we'll be thinking about them in hell, and I hope they don't go there, but we're not going to be thinking about that. Do you have impersonal love towards all? The Lord of the entire universe did for you. That's that impersonal love. I know the colonel just came out with a new book and I haven't read it yet. Anybody got a chance to read it yet? Started it? That has to do with virtue love. And that when your love relationship is right with God, then you can have an impersonal relationship with other people on earth, believers and non. But it has to do with your relationship with God first. And then you can have a genuine, impersonal love for people. There is definitely some stinkers that I don't like. Now, I know you all can think of somebody right now. Don't have no attitude, sinner, 1 John 1:9. But, you know, we got to have impersonal love even towards those. And that's when you know you're going. Okay, whenever you are thinking about that person and you're praying for them genuinely, not just because you have to. Okay? It's not easy to do. So everything in your life dealing with others is a part of your ambassadorship. Everything. Me talking to you right now. We talked before church. We'll go to lunch afterwards. Every single conversation you have with any other human being is a part of your ambassadorship. I never really thought about that completely. Every part, every single word that comes out of your mouth towards somebody. Work, your family, your church setting, your social settings, etc., etc. It's a part of your ambassadorship, so take it seriously. Two factors make up your ambassadorship. How you live, and what you say as a result of what you're thinking. How you live, and what you say as a result of what you're thinking. Those are two factors that make up your ambassadorship. You are what you think, have you heard that? I was angry. And it showed. Okay? So you all, what you got in your soul is what's coming out. You know, when I heard the Colonel RB teach, a lot of people were offended by it, right? Because he was, Word of God is alive and powerful and sharp. Well, he comes off a little hard. But when you're humble and you're really looking at what the guy is saying, he's doing it out of love because he recognizes that we are in spiritual warfare. You know, we step outside these doors, demons. So he's, you know, he wasn't trying to, when he would call somebody out, you there in the green jacket. The Word of God is not in that girl's ear, it's up here. So pay attention. A lot of people would say that and say, that's not correct. That's not right. I had somebody tell me that. I said, okay, let me follow your line of thinking. You say that's not correct. Yeah, because then that person might not come to church next Sunday. Interesting. I think the Bible says not to worry about tomorrow. Because today has enough, troubles of its own? And then all those other six people around that person who's being spiritually, I don't care about the Lord, all those other people around him are being distracted when the troops are being trained for spiritual combat. So that's okay for him to just take away from everybody else? I don't think so. You can have your own thought of it, but I know the colonel wasn't saying it to try to be mean to that guy. He even probably said, you can come talk to me afterwards and I'll explain it to you. So, sometimes it sounds a little harsh, but we're in a war, and he's going to come back any second. I'm trying not to have no attitude sin, because yesterday I was at a setting I didn't enjoy, and it was at a Catholic wedding, my first Catholic wedding to go to, and to me, they were spitting in the face of Jesus Christ when I saw what they were doing. And I used to find it humorous. I would, you know, I'd be like, oh, I can't believe they think that that becomes the literal blood and body of Jesus Christ. But when I saw it, I'm not going to have no attitude sin. I told myself I wouldn't. But it wasn't right. And so I was telling Michelle, I'm going to just pray for me, because tomorrow I'm not, you know, I'm just not happy with what's going on with a lot in the church. And I think it's getting to the end. Okay. Point number five. Let's relate it to the angelic conflict, the ambassadorship. You're also being watched as an ambassador by angels. That's an interesting thought. That's so cool. Turn to 1 Timothy 3:16. I was happy the kids got married. I just wasn't happy with what I was seeing as far as the priests and other stuff. Okay? 1 Timothy 3:16. We're being watched by angels. By common confession, great is the mystery of godliness. He who was revealed in the flesh was vindicated in the spirit, seen by angels, proclaimed among the nations, believed on in the world, taken up in glory. Now turn over to Luke 15:7. Bible flipping. Luke 15:7. We're being watched by angels in this ambassadorship that we're supposed to be doing. And they're longing to look into it. Okay, it says in starting in Luke 15, verse 7, I tell you that in the same way, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. Or what woman, if she has 10 silver coins and loses one coin, does not light a lamp and sweep the house and search carefully until she finds it? When she has found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the coin which I had lost. In the same way, I tell you, there is joy in the presence of angels of God over one sinner who repents. Isn't that good? That they rejoice over one sinner? They don't have to go to that lake of fire? You don't have to turn to this one. I'll just, for the sake of time, read it. 1 Corinthians 4:9. For I think God has exhibited us apostles last of all as men condemned to death, because we have become a spectacle to the world, both to angels and to men. So James 2, yep, we're being watched by men. We're also being watched by angels in our ambassadorship. How many angels are there? We don't know. God knows. 2/3 of them are on our side. Point number six. Ambassadorship requires preparation for war. You got to be prepared for war. Man, the colonel had his colonel background, the colonel. Right? And he wrote, you read it, it said he wrote systemized training manuals for those different 120 bases or whatnot. Did you see the way that carried over into his reading material when you read it? Because he's training you for war. And that's what I really enjoyed about it. There's no fluffy going on. It's seriousness. Proverbs 13:16 says this. Every prudent man acts with knowledge, but a fool displays folly. A wicked messenger falls into adversity, but a faithful envoy brings healing. Now I'll read it with a different translation. Every prudent man acts with knowledge, but a fool displays folly. A wicked messenger falls into adversity, but a faithful ambassador brings healing. There are a lot of people that need healing, right? You can do it. Or be an instrument. Allow the Lord to do it. The third prerequisite from earlier? I'm excited. Experiential sanctification. That's it. That's the third prerequisite. You know, Mike's hammering us. Experiential, 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 right? And for a reason. That's the third prerequisite for ambassadorship. Because if you're not prepared for war, you're a casualty. You're dead in the water, as they say. Try to go out there and do it. Because the fact is, it's war. You can choose either triangle to function in. There's two triangles that you can choose to function in. Some of you probably already know these, you probably heard it, but it'll still be. Okay. Here's a good one. You gotta be saved, right? You gotta be filled. And you gotta be experientially sanctified. You can tell what it is, even though the water's getting on there. Saved, filled, experientially sanctified. This is walking in the light, like we're told to do. Okay? That's the good triangle. I love math, and I love how the Lord uses math. And the Trinity, right? The ellipsis, all over the place. Here's the other one you could choose to be in. You got sin. You got human good. And you got evil. Darkness. I didn't make this up. The Colonel did. Okay, this is, I read the Colonel had this. And that's, there's one of two things. You could, I put that one on top on purpose. A lot of people are down here, aren't they? Not the place to be. Listen to Paul one more time. Are they servants of Christ? I speak as if insane. I more so. In far more labors, far more imprisonments, beaten times without number, often in danger of death. 5 times I received from the Jews 39 lashes. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I have spent in the deep. I have been on frequent journeys, in dangers from rivers, dangers from robbers, dangers from my countrymen, dangers from the Gentiles, dangers in the city, dangers in the wilderness, dangers on the sea, dangers among false brethren. I have been in labor and hardship through many sleepless nights, in hunger and thirst, often without food, in cold and exposure. Apart from such external things, there is the daily pressure of me of concern for all the churches. Now let's listen to the Lord Jesus Christ praying to the Father. You can turn here with me, John chapter 17. John 17. Wonderful chapter. I'm sure you'll see what I said. Some of y'all just, because you got doctrine in your soul. Starting with verse 13, Jesus Christ praying to his Father. But now I come to you, and these things I speak in the world so that they may have my joy made full in themselves. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I do not ask you to take them out of the world, but to keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. For their sakes I sanctify myself, that they themselves also may be sanctified in truth. I do not ask on behalf of these alone, but for those also who believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, even as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you sent me. I know it says somewhere else, there's going to be at the last times, it's going to say people are going to deny that Jesus Christ was here, right? It's happening. Make sure you pray, you confess, you read every day, you apply your reading, and you be an ambassador for Jesus Christ. I got a question for you. How far will you go for the Lord? If you'll please bow your heads and close your eyes. Father, we're so thankful that you haven't left us here in darkness, but rather you've brought us into the kingdom of your light, and you've showed us all these truths. You didn't leave us here as ambassadors without these wonderful doctrines and problem-solving devices and this church here. You gave us this local congregation. We pray you'll protect Country Bible Church from any evil that may try to harm us, because we know in these last times that the devil and his demons are going to try to. So we pray you'll help us to stand strong together. And then, Father, I also ask if there's somebody here right now who hasn't made the decision of John 3:36 to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and His death on the cross to cover their sins, that at a moment in time they will please place their faith in Jesus Christ. Only the Holy Spirit can convict them. But I pray they'll do that so they can join us all for eternity with you to learn more about your truth and these wonderful doctrines. Please help us to be ambassadors. We get so scared and worried about what people are going to think. Help us to be confident and focus upon your doctrines and be filled with your Spirit. We're so thankful for what you do for us. We're thankful that you had the Colonel on this earth as an ambassador and that you taught him so much because of his humility. And then therefore he taught Mike and Mike's teaching us. We're just so thankful. We pray that you'll help us all just to focus upon your Son, Jesus Christ. That's most important. In his name we pray. Amen.